If you're sending your money to these institutions thinking it's safer or because you're too lazy to do the work, expect them to steal it from you at one point.
If you've had a difficult time orange pilling friends or family, I think these sorts of news stories are those that might get people to say, you know what, okay, the world's looking a little crazy. This could go a really bad direction. I'll put 1% in.
The Trumps are known to be pushing their crypto scams, World Liberty Fi, you know, Melania token and those types of things. And I think the signal is that they want Bitcoin also.
So if you're saving your funds in Tether or USDC, for example, you're carrying part of that $38 trillion of debt. So congratulations.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. So this should be surprising for some people. The ETFs have been such big news the last, you know, year and a half. But Shinaka says that this is breaking the silent kill switch inside your Bitcoin ETF. And he goes on to basically say that while you were told it was safe and secure to have these ETFs, which, of course, we have been saying it's not necessarily the case, not your keys, not your coin. The SEC filings are clear. BlackRock, Fidelity, and others have good faith discretion to decide which Bitcoin chain is the valid one in the event of a fork. Your sovereign upgrade, it can be orphaned, stranded, vetoed into irrelevance by a compliance officer. In other words, not your keys, not your coins, and also not your determination as to what version of Bitcoin you have should it come to that. Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first because you have probably been warning people of these sorts of risks longer than anyone. What's your initial reaction here?
I'm not surprised, man. I mean, we've been sounding the alarm bells on this since day one. These people are not your friends. I mean, there's so many people were cheering on, you know, Wall Street and BlackRock and all the big players coming in because they're naively thinking that's going to pump their bags. And now all of a sudden they're millionaires and billionaires. But these people are not your allies. Okay. Nothing they do is in your best interest. Everything is about their bottom line, their control and their power. They wrote it in their in the documentation when they applied for that ETF. All of what you're reading in this tweet was already there, you know, on day one. They think that if they get, you know, a large enough percentage, you know, of folks into these ETFs, then maybe they can sway these idiots into adopting their version of Bitcoin. This does not affect Bitcoin globally. Let's make that perfectly clear. At best, if this lunatic idea were to go through, it would likely affect people in the United States alone. People worldwide will ignore this completely. I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, part of me wishes they do because that will likely be the end of them, because anyone with half a brain is going to dump that shitcoin and, you know, sell it for the real Bitcoin at that point. But them wanting to try something like this, you know, under their delusion that, you know, they're going to have world domination, you know, and they're going to, you know, control and be the kings over Bitcoin. Of course, these thoughts go through their heads. That's the DNA of these people. But the bottom line is, if you're sending your money to these institutions thinking it's safer or because you're too lazy to do the work, expect them to steal it from you at one point. And no one's going to feel sorry for you. A lot of people are simply blindly following the old habits of, you know, passing responsibility to someone else. Well, essentially now what you're doing is that you're passing that responsibility to organized crime. And these guys understand Bitcoin, unfortunately for you. And they are not here to make you rich. They are here to separate as many folks from their Bitcoin as possible. And then enslave you with whatever carrots they throw your way. So if you don't want to be a victim of this almost 100% guaranteed plan of action, then you need to learn 7 or 8 new steps. Understand that Bitcoin in self-custody is the only win here, the only way you guarantee your generational wealth, and more importantly, your freedom, is by owning the one asset that no living soul can manipulate or corrupt. Stop believing these lies and that bullshit. Ignore, unlearn all of that rubbish, that TradFi rubbish that was instilled in your head since the day you were born. These are all lies. We have to, the quicker you format them from your system, the faster you adopt, you know, the world that you actually want to live in.
Tony, the other consideration here, I think, is even if somebody would rank sort of the scenario you describe as a low probability, you know, like BlackRock or Fidelity, like going off and doing something completely different with the code, like a hard fork or something like that. If you are, for example, someone who is running knots, you have to understand that right now, with only 20,000 or so nodes online, BlackRock is going to have a large influence based on the software that they run because of the amount of Bitcoin they hold and the number of people who effectively hold Bitcoin because of BlackRock. And so if the, even if they don't go hard fork into some, you know, crazy, you know, CBDC style Bitcoin or whatever, if you're someone who's running knots, they're probably going to go with the reference implementation and continue to use, you know, Core 30 or whatever the latest update is. And so it's really important if you want to run Bitcoin as you want to run Bitcoin, that you take self-custody, run your own node, do all of the things that we talk about day in and day out. Otherwise, you're just relying on someone else who you might not even agree with. Greer, what do you think?
Yeah, if you're using the ETF for safety, then you don't deserve the freedom that Bitcoin gives you. And I think that's the main trade-off here. And this year, we've seen lots of OGs with a lot of Bitcoin put it into these ETF funds because they either don't want to hold the keys or they want to have access to trading options that some of these entities offer. But Bitcoin is, it's not like any ETF. This is not like any other asset. You have to hold it in self-custody. And like you said, you have to run your own node, verify your own transactions. That's how you stay free. That's how you stay out of the system. You don't take something that's permissionless like Bitcoin and put it back into a permission system.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But the big takeaway for me is just take self-custody, right? Everyone at least needs some amount of a self-custody stack of Bitcoin. If you've got a pension fund or if you've got, you know, some sort of retirement account and you just can't, okay, I get it, but have some self-custody Bitcoin. It just doesn't make any sense. Alrighty, up next, this is pretty big news, actually. France has proposed a groundbreaking bill to acquire 2% of all Bitcoin, creating Europe's first strategic reserve. So 420,000 BTC over the next 7 to 8 years, which I think is quite a lofty goal if you consider the euro-denominated price action that I imagine will happen over the next 7 to 8 years. Unaffordable, likely, but they're planning on using nuclear and hydro, so assuming a lot of mining would go into that. But again, I think we're going to see all-time highs in hash rate as well. So it's going to be this would be a very expensive undertaking for them. I'm just going to give my opinion real quick. Based on everything else I've seen, my guess is this is not a bill that has legs, but I don't know. I don't know much about the French legislative process or how this is going to work or the, you know, the appetite for something like this amongst the French people. Greer, what do you think the likelihood of this, or and also what signal do you think this sends? Is this significant to you?
I don't think this happens. I agree with you. I'm very skeptical that the French government will approve this. It's a good thing for Bitcoin. You know, hopefully it opens up more people looking into it. And if the government of your country is interested in Bitcoin, perhaps that makes you interested. France has some huge problems. I think Bitcoin solves a lot of them. But I, you know, this one to me is you know, shooting up a prayer. I don't think it'll happen. But, you know, for us in the Bitcoin world, it drives the news cycle for about 6 hours.
Yeah. Tony?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. Me too. I have my doubts about this. But it's funny because one by one, they all fall down, right? I mean, they all bend to the king at the end of the day. France has a, you know, a boatload of issues that they need to fix, you know, domestically before they even consider Bitcoin. But if they do take this, it would be good for France. It would suck for the people because, again, you don't want these governments and institutions, you know, vacuuming the Bitcoin. This is money for the people, but the people need to be, you know, awake and paying attention before the, you know, the fixed supply disappears.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys. Up next, we've got a debate challenge from Peter Schiff. He's challenging CZ to debate Bitcoin versus tokenized gold. My initial observation here is he didn't challenge Saylor or any number of people who could talk Bitcoin only and are very hardcore, eloquent Bitcoiners. But he wants to know which best satisfies the conditions of money, which include medium of exchange, unit of account, and store of value. Who wants to moderate? I think we should replace CZ with either Saylor or Tony, because I think that would be funny to watch. But Tony, what do you first of all, do you think this debate happens? And CZ says he'd do it. And what do you think the likely outcome of that would be?
I don't take Peter Schiff seriously, man. I mean, he's just one of these, you know, grumpy old men that keeps barking, you know, the same message over and over. Gold is a relic. You know, this is like someone who's trying to hold on to a fax machine in the age of AI, right? I mean, this is how I describe Peter Schiff in a very short sentence. It's not going to work. Anything that's controlled or manipulated the way gold is a fail automatically in the world we're headed towards. Whether he debates CZ or not, I don't really care, man. I mean, it's like it's like watching, you know, like it's a waste of time, at least for someone like myself. Hold Bitcoin in self-custody. You don't need the approval or opinions of these clowns that are holding onto relics of the past. Focus on real signal. The future is digital. The future is AI. The future is unconfiscatable money. End of story.
Yeah, of course, the irony of all of this is that basically what Peter Schiff is proposing is precisely what has failed in terms of a gold standard, centralized control of the gold and receipts for it. And you've got to trust someone somewhere. I guess he just finds himself to be more trustworthy than the federal government or the Federal Reserve. Greer, what do you think?
I think anything tokenized is ridiculous. So I think that a debate about tokenized gold will probably shine a light on how this is something that you don't want. I don't think that tokenized anything is going to survive in the free market, especially when you have something like Bitcoin, where you can own it yourself. You can get a fraction of it. You can get a whole Bitcoin, whatever. It's up to you and no one can take it away from you. Having a tokenized anything is, again, it's permissioned. Why would you want this? And I think that the debate, if they have it, it'll highlight how silly this is.
Yeah. Trust your friends and family, not Peter Schiff. All righty. Up next, Bitcoin Magazine says, just in, Trump family-backed Bitcoin miner, American Bitcoin acquires another 1,414 Bitcoins. They now hold over 3,800 BTC. I've got to say, I have to imagine at some point, if they continue to do what they've done, we're going to see some major upward price action for Bitcoin in dollar denominated terms, because seems like the people who have the ability to manipulate markets and, you know, do all sorts of shenanigans would have a vested interest in seeing something like that. Greer, would you agree, or do you even care about what the Trumps are doing anymore?
I think there's signal in here. You know, the Trumps are known to be pushing their crypto scams, World Liberty Fi, you know, Melania token and those types of things. And I think the signal is that they want Bitcoin also. And they've partnered with a miner to build their American Bitcoin company. You know, I think any mining that happens is good. I think we need to decentralize mining. Everybody should be running a solo miner if you have a little Bitcoin. But, you know, I think it remains to be seen what the Trump family will do to benefit Bitcoin other than acquiring it. And if you're a Bitcoiner, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's nothing that Trump can do to steal your Bitcoin, take it away, or keep you from using it. This is a tough one to wade through, because you are constantly battling back and forth between, you know, where do their priorities lie? I think a statement like this shows you that Bitcoin is important. You know, they're not bragging about the number of shitcoins that they've purchased. They want people to know that they're focused on the goal amidst all the chaos that they spew.
Yeah. For anyone listening, I would be curious to hear your comments to the extent that you think any of this matters, or if you follow this sort of action. I think we tend to be pretty uninterested in it, but it's, you know, top of the news feed, so we'll discuss it here. Tony, do you have any follow-up comments to that?
Yeah, not much, man, but love them or hate them, you know, that club that you don't belong to, well, they understand Bitcoin, and they are going to unload the failure of the dollar onto everyone else except for themselves as they shift into the future by adopting the one asset they know they need to own for them to remain relevant in this new world. So again, just look what they're doing. Don't just listen to what they say. Watch what they're actually doing. Look what all these new regulations are all about. It's all pushing the debt onto the people while they, you know, slip through the back door into this. So wake up, buy your Bitcoin, hold it in self-custody. These people are irrelevant when you own your wealth. They cannot take it away from you. They cannot dictate what you do with it. That's why they call it permissionless, trustless, and unconfiscatable money. But you and you alone have to own it.
Yeah. Greer, did you say that they're partnering with a miner? So like they're not even going to hold the infrastructure. Like someone else is going to basically be mining and they're putting their wrapper on it.
Yeah, I think they acquired Hut 8 Mining earlier this year, which is a Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, I was going to say, because that seems about like a Trump family thing to do, like slap their name on a bottle of wine, you know, someone else, it's not their vineyard.
Private label.
All right. Amazon is cutting 30,000 corporate jobs beginning tomorrow. So the research I did, it looks like they were attributing this to overhiring during COVID. Obviously, they got busy when no one was going anywhere and everyone's just having things shipped to their house. I think, Tony, I want to hear your thought on this because you are our resident AI expert. Do you believe that narrative or do you think robots are taking over?
100% robots are taking over. There is no chance this is anything else than like cutting massive, massive costs. And this is not coming to Amazon. This is coming to every company out there because it just makes sense from a logistics point of view. So anyone who thought that, you know, their skill set was going to be eternal, well, here's your wake-up call. This is no longer the future. This is here right now. As of this tweet, it's happening tomorrow. So AI is here to stay. It's not going anywhere, but, you know, it doesn't have to be a threat to everyone. It's just going to force us all to continuously evolve our skill set to remain valuable in a world where machines never tire, you never have to pay them, and they're constantly learning. So, you know, human beings need to level up as well.
Yeah. Greer, you and I have actually talked about this offline. And so you've got a design background. And I think there are a lot of people who tend to assume, oh, well, those are the sorts of jobs AI can make an image. So, you know, it's over for those sorts of folks with those skills. And you express sort of an interesting concept, you know, of utilizing AI to make your job easier, to do better work more quickly. And I think I've witnessed that in some of the work that you've done. I would love to hear maybe, I don't know, any guidance or thoughts that you could share with the audience as they look at this sort of news.
Yeah, I think it's easy to be afraid. You know, we're looking at 30,000 corporate jobs, and this comes on the heels of 600,000 just regular blue collar jobs. I think almost over a million Amazon employees. So maybe they're cleaning up their balance sheet before earnings. But ultimately, AI is a tool that I think you probably should embrace. You know, I don't want to say forced to, but it feels like if you don't use AI, you'll lose your competitive edge. So I think today we're still in the early days, and you can use your creativity to create anything, to make anything from, you know, and the examples are abundant. But I would say learn the technology because it advances so quickly. It allows you to do so much. And I think that companies are going to be looking for people who are generalists. You might not need the expert anymore because with AI tools, anybody can become an expert in anything. But if you know how to use a lot of them and you can develop things that are creative, that resonate with people, then I think that that's the way to get through this. You know, and as Tony said, level up, you know, always be learning, always be exploring, be curious. And I think you won't have to be afraid because you'll be developing agency. And that's what I think the future will look like. It will be individuals who are able to do a lot of things and use all the available tools to get results.
I think that's well said. All righty. So Scope Ratings, my understanding, the largest credit rating agency in Europe has downgraded the USA to AA-. Tony, I don't remember if it was earlier this year, last year, one of the big US-based rating agencies downgraded the United States. I think it was the last of the big three. And it seems to me like we talk about the gold price action and central banks buying gold and people waking up to sound money. And now you see these rating agencies who are, you know, kind of calling the bluff and saying, I don't think maybe you're as, you know, fiscally sound as we'd previously thought. What's the signal here?
Fiat is failing. The dollar is on its way out, whether it's, you know, it's just the way it is or it's by design that, you know, they're accelerating it. Time will tell, but, you know, the signs are on the wall. Anything at this point will be better than the dollar. So whether you're a gold bug or you're a Bitcoin hodler, I mean, the future is definitely not worthless paper.
I think that's well said. Greer.
Yeah, when we were looking at this, it appeared that Scope is the only one that doesn't have U.S. interests. So I think we're, you know, looking at our friends across the pond, and they don't think we're going to pay back our debts. Or, like Russia has recently said, maybe they think we'll hide our debts in stable coins that get distributed throughout the world. So, again, this is a warning signal. You know, the dollar's not going to last forever. I mean, let's be honest, it's lost 10% this year, 45% of its value over the last year. It is effectively worthless. You can still use it, but it is not the thing that you want to be putting your money into or storing your money in.
And speaking of stablecoins, payment processor Zelle to allow crypto stablecoins for international transactions. Innovation, right, Greer?
Yeah, this one, in my opinion, this is how they do it. So we've talked about CBDCs and we've talked about stable coins. And yes, while they might improve people's payments, especially in developing countries, this is how they lock you into the digital financial system. It'll be permissioned. But, you know, I also think that there's going to be a physics type lesson here where for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It only takes one time for your money to be blocked or to not access your account that you think, you know, that's too much friction for me. I don't want to go through that experience. And so I think that this will push people into Bitcoin. It will be the obvious alternative to this system, but this is how they will do it.
Yeah. It's and again, like we've it's the same topics that we've covered over and over. It's digital IDs. It's CBDCs and stable coins. It's the surveillance that we see at you know, airports, on roads. It's all of these things coming to a head at the same moment in time. And many of them seem to be getting traction. I think one of the things we talked about, even like in the UK, the digital ID law is like 53% of people want a digital ID. Or it was over 50%. I mean, just crazy. And I think you're right that people are going to have to feel the pain of their money not working or them being unable to use it the way that they had intended before they wake up and realize, oh, it's too late. I've got these fiat shackles and they're going to need Bitcoin. Tony.
Here it is, man. The writing's on the wall now. You know all that genius act that was passed not that long ago? There it is. It's right here. This is how the U.S. government plans to offload its $38 trillion of debt onto anyone dumb enough to use these stable coins. And there's going to be a lot of folks, at least initially, who are going to adopt them because, you know, it's going to be the next best thing compared to their local options. So they get people used to you know, easy money, you know, peer-to-peer, so to speak, even though it's a permission system. But initially, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be difficult about it. They're just going to let it, you know, free flow out there so that enough people adopt it. And in the background, what's happening is that both of all of these companies, whether it's Tether, USDT, well, every time, you know, they issue these tokens, well, they have to, you know, back it up with US treasuries, which is essentially is the debt. So if you're saving your funds in Tether or USDC, for example, you're carrying part of that $38 trillion of debt. So congratulations. And then when enough people adopt that, that's when the C in BDC comes up, the central bank digital currency, which effectively means everyone holding it has just been rug pulled into a prison sentence money-wise. That's the plan. It's, I mean, at least to me, it's crystal clear. It's been clear to Russia as well. I mean, it's very obvious, not to anyone paying attention, that this is the way they're headed. So don't be fooled by this. I mean, use it for the practical purposes that it might serve you, but use it just for that purpose. I wouldn't recommend anyone put their life savings into something like this. And yes, ultimately, at some point, this is going to, you know, FOMO folks into Bitcoin as soon as their money gets locked into a central bank digital currency.
Yeah. If you've had a difficult time orange pilling friends or family, I think these sorts of news stories are those that might get people to say, you know what, okay, the world's looking a little crazy. This could go a really bad direction. I'll put 1% in. And at least like they're off zero. They have something. They can start learning about it as they see their purchasing power appreciate. You know, hopefully that's like just a foothold that you might need. So keep talking about it, everyone. It's important stuff. Alrighty, last, just for fun. So we've got a German startup inventing backpacks that transform into insulated beds with solar panels, creating a moving home for people without one. The funny thing is, James from Stampseed said, digital nomads, thoughts? I went a much darker direction with this. Yeah, I wasn't thinking this is a digital nomad accessory. Greer, what do you think? I think this is the way the government just stuffs everyone into a pod.
Yeah, this is not the future for Bitcoiners. You know, we're planning to live in citadels, you know, sovereign and free and away from the state. So, you know, I James is a great guy. I love that he shared this. But to me, this is not the future that I'm planning for. This is the future for you if you don't have any Bitcoin. You know, you will own nothing and be happy. Unfortunately, that meme seems to be coming to life, and we can watch it on play here in the United States. But yeah, I think that, you know, this is an inventive way to maybe take care of homeless people in a better way as they try to get back on their feet. But this is not for me. I'm going to say no to this one.
Yeah, it doesn't look big enough for me either. I think I'd be uncomfortable in something like that. Tony?
They might come in custom sizes, Michael. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Okay. But I mean, this is funny, not funny. It's, you know, it really paints a dark picture, you know, as to where I think we're headed. I kept saying this in the past that I think we're going into some form of Elysium world, you know, where it really is divided between the have and the have nots. Those that are stuck under government, you know, care, something like this is what life is going to look like. If you don't like what this represents, then you need to opt out. You need to be able to sustain yourself. And the only way you're going to do this is by being able to exist outside their system, by not relying on their product, which is the dollar, the central bank digital currency, or whatever other concoction they come up with. You need freedom money, and there's one, Bitcoin in your full control. Done.
Amen. If I could just make one more comment on this, I also don't understand how these solar panels and the platform and everything's fitting into that backpack. So this feels like maybe the marketing is a bit overdone, but I guess we'll see. Stay tuned, or just build your citadel, to Greer's point. All righty, guys, good times for everyone listening. Thank you for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You can hear a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you with taking proper self-custody of your Bitcoin, amongst other things. Gents, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.